Thank you. Good day, friends. We come to you, and we are studying together the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthian church. And we're starting today in chapter 10. You remember in chapters 8 and 9, we've been dealing with the grace of giving. It would be nice for us to go over that again. I'm not going to, except to point out the high points in the two chapters, the way Paul deals with this question of giving. You had the example of giving in the Macedonian Christians who gave out of the abundance of their poverty. They first of all gave themselves to God. That's the key of it. They gave because of their relationship and love for the Savior. And then we had the principle of giving, which was love. The measure of our love for Christ, according to John's Gospel, is obedience to His Word. And now you have here the question of our love for Christ by giving. And he charges the Corinthian church with this. And the great illustration of that was God in His matchless, wonderful love sent His Son, heaven's best, for us. God manifested His love by giving. How much do we love the Savior? God does not ask for what we don't have. We ought to give according to our capacity what God has given to us, because we love Him. And then we are to exercise. The exercise of giving is by willing hearts. To be willing, not grudgingly. God loves a cheerful, hilarious giver. And then the administration of the gift is for the glory of God and for the help of His people. And then we have the result of giving. God is magnified and glorified. People are blessed and encouraged. The name of the Lord is honored, and so on. The work of the Lord goes on, unhindered. What a marvelous thing it is. I suggest again you read chapters 8 and 9 of 2 Corinthians. Today we see so much of pressure put upon God's people to give for this cause or that cause and good causes and so on. But pressure is put on. And people give not because they love the Savior, but because they're being pressurized into it. Now, Paul says when you come, when you give, give because you want to give, not grudgingly. Give according to your capacity. Give because you love Him. And the result is God is magnified and people are blessed, and you yourself will be blessed abundantly. And don't for one moment think that because you give much or sacrificially that God will ever be in your debt. Remember that. God knows the purpose of your heart, and God grant, and I speak to Mitchell when I'm saying this, that we'll give because we love Him. We'll give because we want to give. We give because we see the need in other hearts, in believers' hearts, in their lives. And God is glorified, and the believer is richly blessed. Now, in chapter 10, down through chapter 12, verse 13, you have Paul now deals with his authority as an apostle. He begins to defend his authority as an apostle. You see, there was a friction, or should I say, let me change that word, there was a faction which caused friction in the Corinthian church. And this faction had charged Paul with being fickle, being proud, self-seeking. They attacked his personal character. They attacked his motives. They ridiculed his message and his mission. So Paul, in reacting to that, he confirms and commends the ones who are loyal to the Lord, and then he begins to refute the charges against him. Now, we saw some of this in the preceding chapters. Now he begins to defend his authority. First of all, he makes his appeal in chapter 10, 1-6. Allow me to read those six verses. Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent, am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh, or, as one text says, according to the world. For though we walk in the in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, are not of the flesh, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is filled full or fulfilled. Now here you have Paul in his appeal in the first 6 verses of chapter 10. He accuses those who accuse him of boldness when writing, but a coward when face to face. Now he will not change his method of approach. He could come with a rod, but he would come in the meekness and gentleness of Christ. That's how he came to them the first time, when he came with the gospel of the grace of God. If you go back to the book of Acts, chapter 18, when Paul went down to Corinth, this vile city, this corrupt, morally corrupt city, and preached the gospel of the grace of God. In fact, he wanted to get out of Corinth, and God said, "You stay here. I've got much people in this city." There was a large church at Corinth. They weren't a wealthy church, but they were a carnal church. They had all the gifts of the Spirit, but they were carnal. They were occupied with men. One says, "I'm of Paul," another, "I'm of Apollos," another one, "I'm of Peter." You're following men instead of Christ. How simple it is to do that in these days. How easy it is to follow men instead of Christ. So you have his statement. "I beseech you by the meekness and the gentleness of Christ." When I came the first time, I came with a heart hungry to relieve, to reveal Christ unto you. And God took you out of that life of moral corruption, out of idolatry. He transformed you. Then others came in afterwards and ran me down. They said I was fickle, I was proud, I was self-seeking. They attacked his character. Now listen to it. "I beseech you by the gentleness, by the meekness of Christ." What an appeal. I'm reminded of those verses, you remember, where our Lord, in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 29, 30, the only time our Lord Jesus said to his disciples, "Learn anything of me." Do you remember that passage? "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek." I am meek. I tell you, my friend, it takes a big man to be meek. In John's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 15, chapter 13, verse 15, pardon me, when our Lord took a towel and girded himself and washed the disciples' feet. You remember that incident? And when he came to wash Peter's feet, Peter said, "You'll never wash my feet at any time." "No, sir." And the Lord Jesus said, "If I wash you not, Peter, you have no part with me." Oh, Lord, if it means that, wash the whole business. My head, my hands, my feet, the whole business. "No," said Jesus, "he that is bathed needeth not but save to wash his feet." And then later on he goes on to say, "I have given you an example that you should do what I have done." What was the example? Meekness. Meekness. You go to 1 Peter chapter 2, about verses 22 to 24, where we read our Lord Jesus left us an example that we should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, he reviled not again, but left all things to him who judgeth righteously. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. An example of meekness. Oh, friend, too many of us are proud, egotistical. "I beseech you by the meekness and the gentleness of Christ." Someone has taken this word meekness and written this: Listen to it. Meekness. One who is prepared to accept the discipline of God without resistance. One who is prepared to accept the discipline of God without resistance. Gentleness. Listen to it. A readiness to forgive. Just like our Lord, you remember in John chapter 8, how ready he was to forgive this dear woman who was caught in the act of adultery. When he said to her, "Where are your accusers? There are none, Lord. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Oh, the gentleness of Christ. In fact, I would say from Galatians chapter 5, these two words, meekness and gentleness, is put in among the fruit of the Spirit. You remember? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, self-control, goodness, meekness, gentleness. Oh, well, if I'm filled with the Spirit of God, what will I do? You'll manifest meekness, gentleness, the fruit of the Spirit. And my friend, when you and I read the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I suggest you look, as you read it through, mark the meekness of Christ, the gentleness of Christ. I'm ever amazed as I read these Gospels, which I do every once in a while. I want to see how the Savior acted. He was a man in the midst of men. He was strong. He could rebuke the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees and the Herodians. He could rebuke them. But when he came to people in need, oh, how gentle, how meek. My friend, I want to tell you, take the time to read some of the Gospels. Take Matthew, take Mark, Luke, John. I know everybody loves John. I suggest you read Luke for a change. You talk about the gentleness, meekness of Christ. Read the Gospel through Luke. I want to tell you, my friend, today, we Christians, if ever we needed something of the manifestation, the revelation of the Son of God in his people, it's today. It's so easy to come and club and judge, ridicule sometimes God's people. We become sarcastic and cynical with them. Paul says, "I beseech you, by the meekness and by the gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you, that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the world, according to the flesh. But though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." You see, there were those, as I say, who were attacking his personal character and his ministry. And Paul says, when I come, I'm not going to change my method of approach. I came the first time in meekness, in gentleness. I came to you in lowliness, but I came with courage. Yes, I can change my way, but I would rather come in meekness, in gentleness. Now, what were they opposing? What were they saying about Paul? They were saying that he walked according to the flesh. As if we walked according to this world. Now, some texts say that, use the word world there. The King James Version says flesh. Either one is okay with me. Though we walk in the flesh, though we walk in the world, we do not war after the flesh or after the way the world works. Then he makes this tremendous statement, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, are not of the flesh, are not of the world, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalteth against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." My, what a scripture. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Now, notice, verse 4 is put in brackets. Let me read verses 3 and 5, then I want to come back to verse 4. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. What do? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I want to say a word about verse 4. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, are not of this world, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, rendered powerful by God. And remind that verse in Zechariah 4:6. It's not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, right where evil is entrenched, casting down every reasoning of man, everything that is contrary to the knowledge of God. You know, allow me to tell you a little incident. Many, many years ago when I was a young fellow, I hadn't been saved very long, and I was trying to give the gospel of the grace of God, of our wonderful Savior, in schoolhouses up on the prairies of Canada. And in the summertime, we used to oftentimes use tents. We'd have tent meetings. My friend and I were having tent meetings, and a group of men came inside of the back of the tent. One of the brethren came to the back of the tent, opened the back of the tent where we were on the platform, and he said, "There's a group of men there in the back of the tent who are here to break up the meeting. In fact, they have vowed to take you fellas and beat you up. I would suggest you slip out the back of the tent now while they're all seated and go away." And I said, "I should say not. Those fellas need the gospel like anybody else." So we went ahead with the meeting. And after the meeting was over, we had a little time of prayer. And then the people dismissed, except this crowd at the back. Now, instead of us slipping out the back of the tent, we walked down in between, down the little island between the seats, through the straw. And to my utter amazement, my friend, my buddy, who was preaching with me, shouted out at the top of his voice, "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." And in 5 seconds flat, those fellas got off their bench and off they ran through the tent. I never saw anything in my life before it nor since. I don't know what made my brother do that, but he just shouted out, "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God." And those 15, 20 fellas beat it as fast as they could. We never saw them for the dust they were making. I'll never forget that. And down through the years of ministry, I've always reminded myself that we have a God who is sufficient for every need. And I'm sure if I were to call upon missionaries in different parts of the world, they would come and give their testimony of how God, in a wonderful way, delivered them from this, or delivered them from that, or delivered them through this test or that test, and so on. Now, I'm well aware of the fact God doesn't always deliver us from our enemies. One can only read the history of the Christian church. Well, even in the early days of the church's history, martyrdom was the order of the day. And oftentimes Christians welcomed death to receive the martyr's crown. And through it all, God was with them. Death was a conquered foe. The enemies of God are still busy. And that's what you have here. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty to God, to the pulling down of strongholds. However evil, however powerful, however corrupt the world may be, however weak the flesh may be, or how it may oppose the people of God, I want to remind you that the Lord Jesus is still on the throne. And this man who said, I exhort you, beseech you, plead with you, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, was the same man who said, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. We have the same Savior today. Am I talking to some believers, and you're going through tests and trials, you're going through opposition? May I remind you that the Lord Jesus is still on the throne, and the weapons of our warfare are not of this world, are not of the flesh, are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. And the same God who stood by Paul, it's the same one who stands by you, my Christian friend. Are you having opposition? Are you in affliction? Do you feel as if you're beaten up and defeated? Remember, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We do not overcome evil by tricks and stunts, not even by the philosophies of men. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, the casting down of every imagination, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I can't fathom that. What an amazing thing. I'll leave that with you today. May we today, we who are Christian workers, beseech, plead with men and women by the meekness, by the gentleness of Christ, not being autocratic or domineering, by the meekness, gentleness of Christ. Oh, don't you have to have some charisma? Oh, no. I beseech you, I plead with you, by the meekness and the gentleness of Christ. Although the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. May the Lord wonderfully bless you today. Make his face to shine upon you. And may you experience the presence of God more than you've ever felt before, for his precious holy name's sake.